Good morning. Now a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And now our reading is, I'm sorry, I was moved by the Spirit with some things that are going on in our life, so. And now our reading from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Sorry.
Thank you, Diane, for reading our scripture this morning. And we are praying for you and your family. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. My name's Emily. I'm part of our pastoral team, and sometimes scripture does that to us, right? It just connects with us in some deep way that we maybe didn't see coming. And God speaks to us and speaks to our hearts again and again. Thank you, God, for the ways that you meet us in your word and with your heart. We are starting a new sermon series today. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. Not hanging by a thread, but dead. There's an old saying also that says, preach the gospel at all times and only use words if necessary. That verse and that saying come together to remind us that we are meant to put faith in action. To put our skin on what we believe, to live it out with others in a meaningful way. And that's what our new sermon series is about. Faith in action. How do we do that? Well, when we join a United Methodist Church or faith community, we make a commitment to five things, five ways we're going to do this: through prayer, presence, giving, service, and a life of daily witness. So what do you know? We got 5 weeks in our sermon series, and so each week we will lift up one of those five things. And we'll also give you with it a direct action item that you can do that day, that week, as you too put your faith in action. Today, our theme is prayer. And we have an immediate way for you to live into that with a prayer calendar that will be available through the digital bulletin or our media kit online. We'll also mail it out to everybody in the next couple of weeks with our stewardship series. And that's a way for you to have a prayer prompt every day, a scripture verse or a ministry in the church over which we invite you to pray. And next week, I bet you can guess what our emphasis is. And that's on service. And so we'll set our alarm clocks right in our calendars, and we'll come at 9 o'clock for that one service, and then we'll have an immediate action item, which is to pack 30,000 meals to be sent to places of great need across the world. So we'll leave the service, go right over to the gym. So just plan to hang out with us all morning, 9 to 12. We'll pack all those meals. We'll ring the gong after we get so many meals done. We'll put our hair nets on. We'll put gloves on. And we will have a ball together. All ages, families, everybody can be a part of that. Everybody can help. So let's put our faith in action these next 5 weeks in incredible ways together. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we love you. Thank you for this day. We pray blessings upon all those persons who are struggling with things right now in the ways, Lord, we thank you for how you meet us where we are. And Lord, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock, our refuge, our peace, our redeemer, and it is in your name that we pray. As all of God's people said, amen. There is someone that I wish you could meet. I wish that you could meet my dad. He's about 5'9", bright blue eyes, bright white hair. He's in his mid-80s. He is a retired engineer. He's also a farmer at heart, a country boy. He loves John Wayne movies and John Deere tractors and fishing. And he loves chicken stew or Brunswick stew, you might call it. And he loves biscuits with a slice of tomato on them. Or biscuits with country gravy on them. Or biscuits with ham on them. Frankly, I think he just loves biscuits. And my dad is very intelligent, but you probably won't notice. Because he's really humble and he'd rather tell you a story and joke around with you first. And he's as comfortable outside in the land as he is inside napping in his favorite blue chair. And my dad has a deep faith. A deep faith. It is as wide too as it is deep. And he is one of the most content people I know. He is just at peace. And that comes from his relationship with God. And one of the things that I love about my dad is that you never know when a prayer is going to just come out. Without warning, you could be at the tractor shed, out in the garden, on a fishing pier, right around the table, about to eat some of those biscuits. And from out of nowhere, oh Lord, it's a beautiful Tuesday. I just think it's so pretty outside, those fall colors. I just love them. I'm thinking about my neighbor. My neighbor's having a hard time. What can we do to be helping my neighbor? We need to be doing that right now. Lord, tell us what we need to be doing. Pass those biscuits. I need to get something on them before we start to eat today. I love that. My dad talks to God all day long. And occasionally we get to get in on it. Those prayers just erupt out of him like a geyser without warning. And I love it when people are visiting because they don't quite know what to do. We might be sitting around the table or about to play a game of cards or in the middle of that game of cards. And when this prayer pops out, people are looking at each other like, what are we doing? Are we praying? Oh, we're doing this. Okay. And so they pull their hands up and they go down into prayer position too. But you never know how long it's going to last. And he doesn't always say amen because, right, prayer just goes and goes. And he might pop back into it another 10 minutes or an hour or so, and you'll be invited back in to listen in on and be part of his deep relationship with God. Carl Rahner used to say that everyday life becomes our prayer. It's like breathing. It's being in connection with an awareness of God all through the day. And when I hear those verses that Diane read for us this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think of my Father. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's how my dad lives. And I can learn a lot from him. Maybe one day I'll get to grow up and be like him if I'm old enough and put faith in action that way too. Those verses that we share come at the end of a letter called 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. If you got your Bibles or Bible apps with you, I invite you to turn to it. It's a letter that was written to people going through a hard time. In fact, most of those letters in the New Testament were written to people of faith going through a hard time and conflict that erupted because of it. 1 Thessalonians is no different. And 1 Thessalonians was one of the earliest writings in the New Testament, written before the Gospels were, around 50 AD or CE, just 20 years or so after Christ's death and resurrection. It was that first generation of the Christian church. And it comes from a trio of people. You'll see at the beginning, it comes from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And they were traveling around, planting house churches as they went, sharing the good news of the gospel of God's love as they went from town to town. And this letter was written to guide and encourage the house groups in a place called Thessalonica. That's where the word Thessalonians comes from. And that city, Thessalonica, was named after Alexander the Great's half-sister, who was married to one of the army generals. Just a bit of trivia, in case you ever need to know. And because of that, right, this was a major city. It was a city on a major trade route, a commercial hub. And there were a number of different cultures that were mixed into this city. And there were different religious cults. And so when the people who are teaching about following Christ come along, and the loyalty you were supposed to have in that city was to empire, right? To the Roman Empire. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy come along and teach that our allegiance is meant to be to Jesus. Above government, above any government leader, above anything else. And that meant conflict with their neighbors. That meant conflict with that empire. It meant conflict with those other religious cults. And so these people who received this letter were getting weary. And so Paul writes to encourage them, give them hope, and help them stay the course and be faithful. They also had another problem. The people in this church thought that Jesus was coming again soon. It had been 20 years already, and they thought surely Jesus would have come back by then. Well, we could tell them a thing or two about waiting, couldn't we? It's been about 2,000 years now, and we're still waiting. So Paul writes, in the meantime, while you wait for Christ's return, do something meaningful with that life that you have and put faith into action. He gives them in chapter 5, in that section from which we read today, rapid fire, counsel and advice about who they are to be together and how they are to be together in healthy community. And I'm going to paraphrase it. This is what he says, that this is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Get along with each other. Be at peace. Don't repay evil for evil. That's a choice. Encourage those who were struggling. Be patient. Be careful when you get on each other's nerves. Don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. Do good to one another. Do good to all. Live with an attitude of gratitude. And he says, pray all the time. This, Paul writes, is how we put faith into action. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Maybe you're thinking, I can't pray all the time. I've got kids to feed. I've got groceries to buy. I've got grass to cut. I've got work to do. I've got people to tend to. I've got to drive down 95. I can't be praying all the time. What if we think of all of life, all of that as prayer? God with us in it as we do it all. And so during the day we turn and talk to God from time to time like my dad does. And one of the things I like about his prayers, right, is that he doesn't always say amen because, right, they're going to be talking before long anyway. And so if we pray without ceasing, that prayer doesn't really end. I love that. Prayer is this distinctive foundation for this countercultural way of life that is grounded in God. because prayer comes from a relationship with God. Prayer forms us in relationship with God. Prayer deepens our relationship with God, and God changes us through prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God, pouring out our hearts, telling God about everything that's going on, like those good tomato biscuits on the table or the beautiful fall colors that we see. It's how we feel. It's all our concerns and worries. And prayer is not talking at all. It's taking time to listen to God and not speak and let God speak to us. Prayer is about relationship, relationship, relationship. What is it about? Relationship. And it takes so many forms. Standing, sitting, kneeling, lying down, anywhere, anytime, hands in the air, hands by your side, hands folded, hands doing anything. Prayer is about relationship. Connecting us to God and connecting us through God to others. And the way my dad does it, it's as natural as talking with God all day long. Any day, all day, wherever you are, inside, outside, upside down, at the table, in the tractor shed, in the garden, at work, at school, and on I-95. And that beltway. Sometimes we pray out loud, and sometimes only God hears what's going on in our hearts. So if we've never prayed before, where do we start? And if we've been praying for 40, 50, 60 years, how do we grow deeper? Well, the best way to grow in prayer is to pray. It's that simple. Using everyday, ordinary words. And if we've never done it before, you can start that way. Lord, I've never done this before, and I have no idea what to say or what I'm doing, but hi. And look forward to growing together. Talk to God like you talk to your closest friend. God knows you even better than your closest friend does and loves you even deeper. We can thank God for moments, ask God for help. We can seek guidance. We can cry. We can laugh. We can shoot the breeze. It's a relationship. Talking, that part is often the easiest for us. Sometimes it's that contemplative silent prayer that's a little harder, because that's when we're not talking, but being present to God's presence with us. Aware that God is beside us, with us. And it's okay if we don't know what to say. Sometimes maybe it's better that way, when we simply sit and rest with God. One of the things I like to do when I pray sometimes is to read scripture. In fact, sometimes I'll take one passage and read it over and over and over again until God draws my attention to an image or a phrase or a word. And then I'll sit with that and pray with that too. And if you don't know where to start, the Psalms are a great place to start if you want to read scripture while you're praying. The Psalms were the prayer book, the hymn book for the Hebrew people of faith. It was the hymn book, the prayer book that Jesus used, so you can't go wrong with that. We read from that today, Psalm 63. That's a beautiful psalm. One thing that I like to do is pick a psalm, and I'll read that same psalm every day for a week. Every day in the morning, sometimes at night too. And then I'll see how God uses the words of that psalm to shape what I'm going through that week. And those words just come to life in a special way. So I'm going to read Psalm 63. We're going to read it together. If you've got your Bibles, you can check it out and read it with me. Psalm 63, the first 8 verses. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live and lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied, content, as with a rich feast. And my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you in my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. How beautiful is that? It is a psalm not only about prayer, it is a psalm that lays out for us a life of prayer. This prayer is one of rest and assurance and contentment, peace. It's a prayer of deep relationship. It was used as a call to worship in the early church. We used it as a call to worship in our 8:15 service today. This psalm prayer talks about staying up all night, meditating on God in the watches of the night. I bet all of us have done that from time to time, spending all night in prayer with God. And it says that God's love is better than life. It's one of my favorite lines in the text. So we cling to God and God holds us up. This is the fruit of a constant life of prayer, and it is my hope for you. There's one word that occurs in this psalm four times, verses 1, 5, 8, and 9. It is the word nephesh. It's a Hebrew word. It means soul. It means life. It means more than that, too. It means vitality. It means being. It also has this connotation of appetite. Verse 5 says, our souls, our lives are satisfied in God, as with a rich feast. That word also means fat or fatness. The way I read that verse is thinking about Thanksgiving dinner. Think about the best Thanksgiving dinner you've ever had, and afterwards, oh, you're just content, right? Full, content, at peace, so much so you just want to rest in it. You just want to sit on the sofa and take a nap. That kind of contentment, filled with the fullness and the peace of God, and satisfied down to your soul. A relationship with God is the source of that kind of contentment. It's why my dad is so at peace. It's not just all those biscuits he eats. It's that relationship he has with God. Talking with God all day long through the night. And every now and then he lets the rest of us in on it. And we get to hear his prayer life too. I love how his faith just bursts out and he can't hold it back. Why would he? Why would any of us? Philippians tells us that this life of prayer results in a peace that passes understanding because it's grounded in and marked and shaped by relationship with God. Think of the word pray like an acronym. P-R-A-Y, P for peace, R for relationship, A for assurance, Y for yearning, yearning for that deeper relationship. I'll say it again, P-R-A-Y, P for peace, R for relationship, A for assurance. Y for yearning. I bet you know what your homework is this week. Let's just pray. And you know that usually right now a prayer comes at the end of the sermon. But if I were like my dad, I'd just sneak it in on you, right? And you wouldn't know when I was going to start it. But we gave you fair warning. Lord, it's a beautiful Sunday and we love you. We love you so much. We thank you for all those things like fall leaves and biscuits with ham and biscuits with sausage. And Lord, we thank you for the ways that you surround us with one another. Thank you for everybody worshiping online, everybody here in the sanctuary today. Lord, knit us together. Bring us together as one and help us to grow in our prayer lives, Lord. Help us to pray without ceasing. To talk to you, with you, all day long. And help us to listen, too, for your voice speaking into our lives, meeting us where we are. Lord, we pray for that contentment, that fullness, satisfied as with a rich feast, knowing that we are anchored securely in our relationship with you. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for the ways that you love us even more. And we pray, Lord, today for our nation. We pray, Lord, today for our neighbors, our community, this planet. We got a lot of folks who are dealing with a lot of things today. And so, Lord, in the silence, we also lift that up to you. We lift our voices to pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.